the sequence given by Guruji for asthma isn't just for asthma, but it is also helpful for cardiac or heart problems, lung problems, and also feelings of uneasiness or anxiety. To understand this better, you'll realize that the first three asanas, supta, well supported lying back, but the next two, dandasana and buttakanasana, well supported, are L-shaped postures. That means upashri. Ashri means supported. Upa means slightly inclining, not sitting up, but slightly inclining back. They're midway L-shaped postures. The body's well supported, and they're given for heart conditions, cardiac problems, even heart palpitations, chest infections, asthma, and also for nervous disturbances, emotional upsets, fatigue. All sitting poses can be done in this method, and often it's best to start in dandasana and then swastikasana, buttakanasana, upavista or virasana. But it's important to observe the actions, understand the method and the technique, and also the emotional involvement that often comes when you're not feeling well. In class, some of you may have used a chair with the backbend extension on it, bolsters and blankets, to make that slightly inclined, rounded shape. At home, you might find your lounge or your bed, or there's a comfortable chair that will give you that support, and you can do those two poses. The most important thing is that the back and the neck are well supported. It's important the head is higher than the chest, then the abdomen, then the legs. The arms and the legs are completely rested, and the chest region is open, and the abdominal region is softened. With this vertical support, the chest and the abdomen get a good separation. That diaphragmatic region gets freedom. With a little bit more horizontal support, that diaphragmatic region softens, and the intercostal muscles also soften. In trying these poses, you'll find that the anterior extension and anterior lift is more in Virasana than it is in Buddhakanasana. In Buddhakanasana, there's more abdominal freedom. It is a subjective understanding, a subjective experience. Why these poses help with emotional problems is that physically the chest and the abdomen are separated. The diaphragmatic muscle, which connects the physical being with the mental being, is the threshold between the physical and mental layers. So when the diaphragm region gets its freedom, your mind gets some freedom, some comfort, some support. In Upashri Dandasana, move the shoulder blades in, move the back ribs in, extend the sides of the trunk, move the dorsal into the body, into the front chest. Sitting up correctly so the organic body will be held properly. If you drop your chest, the abdomen hits upward and the diaphragm is caught. then the organic body suffers. You're sitting with a collapsed lung. That will pull you mentally down further. If you're already mentally down, that can also pull the body down further. So that's why these asanas are so important. So it's important to keep the body uplifted so the mind also can remain uplifted. I'd also like to give you a little bit more information about Uttanasana. Before you do supported Uttanasana, Ardha Uttanasana, where you lie along a surface, where you lie forward with some support at waist height or even higher. If tension is coming, then stand in Tadasana, with the shoulders back, the shoulder blades down and into the back ribs. Back chest should give support to the front chest. And this might help relax and give relief if there's a bit of a chest spasm. The breath has to start to come up below the collarbone, standing with your feet apart, in front of your support. Turn the inner edges of the back thigh from inside out, stamping the outer edge of the feet. Lift the inner edges of the thigh to the groin, elongating the trunk. And as you elongate the trunk, check that you're not getting a grip on the root of the thigh. Elongate the inner leg. Now, after elongating the inner leg upward, then from that inner edge of the knee to the root of the thigh, go on lifting higher and higher upward and stretch, full stretch on the legs to go forward, quietening the back trunk going forward. Lie along your support. Pubic plate going forward, abdomen forward, muscles of the side ribs forward, bottom of the chest forward. When you lengthen the sides of the abdominal muscles forward, you also put them on the bolster. The front outer body is on the bolster. The organic body, the heart, the lungs are rested down. There is elongation of the trunk. Spinal extension has taken place. The sides of the ribs are open. Armpit, chest open. And there's a change to the organic body, how the lungs behave. Diaphragm behaves, opening the sternum forward, opening the lungs, elongating the chest region and the intercostal muscles, then the lungs begin to act as you move forward with that anterior extension. This enables the lungs, which are mostly at the back, to get released. In half Uttanasana, in Ardha Uttanasana supported, the support is waist height or slightly higher, and the entire abdomen is rested and the arms are extended forward. This can be a resting position with no pushing or pulling. The autonomous nervous system is made to be quiet. So understand that supported Ardha Uttanasana is different to supported Uttanasana. With asthma, there's breathing difficulties, the lungs can get restricted, tightness in the chest. They can have bouts of coughing and wheezing. The throat restricts and the diaphragm becomes tense. The airways get narrowed and there's difficulty in exhaling. In an extreme attack, the air can't get out So calming down is really important. Often with asthmatics, there's a warning sign, and the warning sign is a backache, an ache in the upper back, because the diaphragm at the back gets tight. So it's a time to rest the body, and that's by doing the upper shri poses or this well-supported Ardha Uttanasana. For a wheezing attack, lying forward in half Uttanasana can bring fast relief. Or if well practiced, supported Uttanasana and just be conscious of learning to exhale a little bit more in the pose. Give focus to the breath. Exhale a little bit longer than the inhalation. And that exhalation also has the power to quieten the body inside, quieten the organic body, quieten the nervous system, and the body is helped with this style of breathing. Also with coughing, do supported Uttanasana with the forehead supported and the back concave. Feel that area moving into the body. And it's very important to know this could help stop the coughing. Then you can do rope, Adho Mukha Svanasana, with that same back area concave. And the two quieten the coughing spasm. A cough is a spasm of the respiratory tract, so open the chest and create space. Breathlessness also can be relieved by supported Uttanasana, but in a slightly different way. The support should be hip height or even higher, waist height or even higher, and you start by placing the forehead on the edge of that support. Then you move the nose up until the chin is on the edge. So it's the chin that is supported. This also relieves or can help relieve panic attacks. It has a soothing, quietening effect. Asthmatics have to be cautious when breathing is difficult. No lying down flat because of the congestion and the fluid in the lungs. No pranayama done, and especially in any pranayama practice, they have to be careful to do it correctly or otherwise it can bring on an attack. On the day they're not feeling well, they shouldn't do inverted poses, and they don't practice halasana. Supported halasana can be done when they're free of asthma or breathing difficulties. Otherwise, the heaviness of the abdomen on the diaphragm is unpleasant and causes difficulty. Paschimottanasana shouldn't be practiced during or after an asthmatic attack. Savangasana, shoulder stand in the chair, can bring relief. It's important to create space in the chest region so the chest opens and there's no compression on the diaphragm and the intercostal muscles are released. Freedom from inside gives good ventilation to the breath, not difficulty. Holding the back legs of the chair, see that the back ribs move in towards the body and that supports the whole heart region in the front. The chest opening, you'll find the organic body from within the heart, especially finding that support from the inside. And at the same time, keep the brain cells quiet and cool as the eyes are closed. relax and quieten the throat, relax the tongue. Don't allow the tongue to get compressed. And with soft, quiet exhalation, further release the brain cells. With the exhalation, allow the temples of and the brain cells, the frontal forehead, to become passive from within. I really bombarded you with a lot of information, but really all I wanted was to share with you what I'd learned through Guruji and his teachings, and how with our own practice, not just gathering information that I've given you, but practicing it and taking it within, that automatically there are gains. By breathing better, prana, that cosmic energy that's in the air we breathe and pervades our whole body, is made to flow within by our respiration and circulatory systems, transport that life force, that life energy. And how important it is for us to open the spaces within for that pranic energy to spread. How the blood flow through the body is transporting that energy. Prana we can't see, so therefore we usually think of it as air or ether. But in Vedic science, prana is a subtle form of water. If we think of prana flowing like water, then we understand how we've got to get rid of any obstructions or constrictions to its flow, how we've got to open and make the space within, and how water takes the shape of its vessel. So the more we can open the chest, how the heart and the lungs can have more pranic energy, and how it flows on the waves of the breath, on our inhalation and our exhalation. I'd like to finish with a quote from Guruji. Inhale with warmth, elation and joy, as if you're inviting the life force as a gift from God. Exhale with a sense of gratitude, silently expressing your humbleness as a surrender to the Lord.